Elizabeth in Minnesota. Good morning, Elizabeth.
I just had a question about euthanasia. I want to know what exactly the church teaches about it and, like, when, if ever, it's okay to withhold life support.
So by euthanasia, you're referring to assisted suicide, somebody ending his own life? Okay. Well, the church says that it is always a grave sin to intentionally end the life of an innocent person. So whether that's through some form of murder or some other variation on that theme, up to and including putting the person to death by medicine or for some other way, that's morally reprehensible and is always a sin. So euthanasia as such is a serious sin that we should always avoid. We should always oppose it because it's intentionally taking the life of an innocent person. So that's the simple answer. Maybe there's more to your question than that, though.
Yeah. Well, my grandpa was talking about, like, if someone's dying of, like, a heart attack and they're going to die anyway, is it okay to, like, at any point to stop, like, artificial pumping of their heart?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're going to die from that.
Right. That is a nuance that is not directly euthanasia. So let's talk about that. If somebody is in a coma, let's say, and can't eat for himself, can't do anything for himself, he needs assistance because he's in a coma to stay alive. If it's just normal, everyday, what the church would call ordinary assistance, like feeding the person, giving him water, and even if maybe he can't swallow because he's in a coma, let's say, there could be a tube put in to provide nourishment, to provide hydration. That's all normal. And if the person can receive it and the body doesn't reject it, then we do have an obligation to continue to do that. So it would be wrong if somebody said, well, this is taking forever. When is this guy going to die? Let's just stop feeding him. He's in a coma. He won't even know. That would be murder if you starved somebody to death like that or withheld hydration. And we're talking about normal situations where his body can easily handle food and water. It'd be like saying, well, let's just, you know, suck all the air out of the room so he'll suffocate. No, you can't do that. He needs to breathe. Now, he's not aware of breathing. He's just like you and I aren't aware of breathing when we're asleep. It's our autonomic system that continues to breathe for us. So let's say a ventilator, if that was what was keeping this patient alive and there was no way for him to live if he weren't on that breathing machine, the ventilator, then in that case, the church looks at that as an extraordinary means of helping him stay alive. And this is where there's a difference. The church says that if it's determined that this person is not going to wake up, can't live without the ventilator, that if you decide to unplug the ventilator, turn it off, disconnect it, what have you, that that's not a sin. And it's certainly not euthanasia because you are not intentionally letting the person die. You're not intentionally killing the person. You know that the likelihood is very high that he will die when you remove that extraordinary measure of the ventilator, but you're not causing his death. You're not intentionally causing his death. And this is where it gets into something called the principle of double effect. Have you ever heard of that phrase, Elizabeth?
Not really, no.
Well, write that down, or at least remember it, because it's an important nuance in the world of Catholic moral theology. And essentially what it means is there are some things that are not immoral in themselves that could have an unintended negative consequence. And this would be an example of that. So the principle of double effect is there are two effects here. One is that you are removing the extraordinary means of life support, knowing that the likelihood of the patient's death is very high, maybe even guaranteed, but you're not intending to cause his death. So the unintended double effect would be his death. I'll give you another example. You're 16, so I'm sure by now you understand the reproductive system and how it works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So in female physiology, the fallopian tubes are the tubes from which the ova, the eggs, come from the ovary down to the uterus. You know all about that, so we don't have to go into detail. Sometimes there can happen what's called an ectopic pregnancy, where an egg that has been fertilized can lodge and get stuck in the fallopian tube. And that's a living human being because fertilization has taken place. Unusual circumstance. It's not common, but it does happen. So there's an example where in order to save the life of the woman, the only way to save her life is to surgically remove the fallopian tube. But you know that by doing this, the little tiny unborn human being can't survive because he or she is too young to survive outside of the mother. So when the doctors and the mother, for example, and her husband, when they make this decision, okay, we're going to go forward with the surgery, this is an example of the principle of double effect, because the intention of the act is to cure the woman's illness, which is the problem with the fallopian tube, so that she doesn't die, knowing that by removing the fallopian tube, the death of the child, which is not intended, they're not trying to kill this unborn baby, they're trying to save the life of the mother through removing the fallopian tube. That would be an example of where something like that would be morally permissible. It's not ideal because the baby winds up dying, but you really have no choice. And the mother and the doctors are not trying to kill the child. They're trying to save the mother. Now, that would be different from an abortion, because in the case of an abortion, so now the baby, let's say, has implanted in the uterine wall, and the baby's not in danger of dying, and the mother's not in danger of dying. And even if the mother were in danger of dying, that's a separate discussion we could have. But the point here is that if then they decided, well, we are now going to perform a surgery to abort that child, that would be immoral because it's an intentional, direct effort to end the life of that innocent person. In the case of the fallopian tube, it's an unintended negative side effect. Do you see? It's a very subtle distinction, but do you see that distinction?
Yeah.
Okay.
See that?
Have I given you too much of an answer? I didn't mean to. I just wanted to give you an answer
perfect.
That was understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Let me recommend a book to you, because who knows? Maybe one day you'll end up as a physician, and you'll be making similar decisions down the road. So here's a good book. It's called Life Issues, Medical Choices. And it's a good book. It's got maybe 50 or so real-world scenario questions, just like this. Is it moral to disconnect the ventilator from a patient who's in a coma? And so this and many other examples that probably have never even occurred to you, but they're all explained in this book in a way that you'll be able to see, okay, that's why this would be immoral. But that, like the removal of the fallopian tube, would not be immoral under the following circumstances. So if you'd like to go deeper, I think that book would be of great interest to you.
Okay, thank you. That's perfect.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to walk through that with me. I appreciate that. Like what you just heard? Share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.